Take your Bibles, please, if you will, and turn to the book of Philippians. Now, let me apologize to you. We must have miscommunicated with the office that week, I apologize to you for that. Look on the back of your bulletin insert and the listening sheet that is there. So when you come back to Bible study tonight, bring that with you, because that is our worksheet for tonight's Bible study. And so consequently, I apologize to you that we do not have a listening sheet in place for this morning. So if you can find a piece of paper somewhere and a pen or pencil, it would be good for you to take some notes from today's message. The message is entitled "Loving Out Loud: The Christian Goal." Now, that's what we've been looking at all month, loving out loud. And so far we've looked at loving out loud impacting Mountain Grove, loving out loud, do evangelism with ease, loving out loud, the heartbeat of God. That was last Sunday. And then today, loving out loud, the Christian goal. Now, if we're going to love out loud, which we are, and which you're doing, if we're going to impact Mountain Grove, and if we're going to do evangelism with ease, and if we're going to be committed to the heartbeat of God, which is evangelism, which moves on to discipleship. Last Sunday, remember that? Getting on the bridge. If we're going to do that, then we need to know what our Christian goal is. And we're going to see that this morning unfold before us with Philippians chapter 3. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be tearing that apart. And we've got an elongated passage we're looking at. But I want us to see that very clearly. But you see, in order to impact others with the gospel, we need, number one, obviously, to make sure that we've got the gospel in our own life. But also, as a church, we need to make sure that we're functioning together as a church. So that's part of our Christian goal that we're going to look at today, is to make sure that we're moving together and in the right direction. Now, give your attention to the screens, if you will. And I think you'll find this impacting your own heart over the next few moments. Dick Hoyt and his son Rick and an Ironman triathlon. Over 3 miles of swimming, over 115 miles of biking, and over 26 miles of running together. An amazing story. I want to encourage us to be a goal setter and a goal getter together. Now, Paul gives some amazing and practical principles for us in this passage of Scripture as we learn to love out loud. Let's read it, and again, keep your Bibles open so that God can speak to us as this passage unfolds before us today. We're in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. All right, now again, keep your Bibles open. And if you have access to some paper, let me encourage you to take some notes today. We're talking about loving out loud the Christian goal. So let me show you four things with regard to that. First of all, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Now look at verse 13 from Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, God gives to each of us a second chance, a new beginning, the ability to start over. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, one strike and you're out? Wow, I'm sure glad that he doesn't do that. He gives us the ability to have a new beginning. Now, not only is that within our own life, but he also gives us that possibility within our church setting. He gives us the possibility of new beginnings. He gives us the possibility of starting over. He gives us the possibility of picking up broken pieces and moving ahead. His compassions are new every morning. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So you see, every day that God allows us to wake up, he has extended his compassions to us. So every day is like a new beginning for us. And I tell you what, there have been so many, many, many days that I'm grateful for that. And the reason is, I messed up yesterday. You ever done that? And so consequently, when I wake up tomorrow, today, it's a new day. And I realize that, wow, his mercies, because of his mercies, were not consumed. His compassions are new every day. He gives us the chance for new beginnings. I'm so grateful for that. Do you need a new beginning in your life today? Do we need a new beginning in our church today? Yeah. And I'm grateful that God allows us that possibility. I'm grateful that God offers that to us. Now, regarding forgetting the past, let me give you two things here. First of all, he, Paul, remembers what he must not forget. He remembers what he must not forget. So let me show you two or three things with regard to that. First of all, his acceptance in Christ. That's found in verse 8. We're in Philippians chapter 3. Keep that chapter open because we're going to tear it apart today. So first of all, he remembers what he must not forget. Verse 8, his acceptance in Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Aren't you glad that you've been accepted through Jesus Christ? Now let me point out to you that that's the only way that we can get accepted by God. And that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, many of you prayed for me this week because I asked you to do that from two perspectives. One was that I had invited a couple of Mormon missionaries into my home one of these nights this week. I've lost track of the week, to be honest with you. But anyway, they showed up, and I appreciated that very much. And we had a good exchange. We had a wonderful exchange. They stayed for a couple of hours. And I have within my library an amazing DVD that exposes the fallacies of Mormonism. And I was able to invite those two young men, into watching that with me, and they agreed to do it. And so we spent an hour watching that DVD. But one of the things I want to point out to you is this. And that is, Paul says that he's accepted in Jesus Christ. And the reality is that's the only way that you're going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it through the Mormon pattern and through many, many other false religions. And the only way to heaven, my friend, the only way is through Jesus Christ. Now, when I posted that on my Facebook and asked many of you to pray for me, I got a scathing personal message from somebody that's on my Facebook that informed me that I needed to be very gracious with Mormons because they believe in their God just as readily as I do. And I wrote back and I said, well, that's certainly true. Except, you see, their Book of Mormon is religious fiction. It's not how sincere you are, my friend. It's the foundation of truth. And this right here is the only foundation of truth. And so this is very, very clear that there is only one way, only one way for you and I and for anybody else in the world to make it to heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Paul's pointing out here. He remembers what he must not forget, and that is his acceptance in Christ. Here's another thing that he points out: his apprehension by Christ. That's found over in verse 12. And verse 12, we're in Philippians chapter 3. Keep your Bibles open. Verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." And that word apprehend in the Greek language simply means to seize or to possess. And so Paul points out to us, he doesn't want to forget the fact that we have been apprehended by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ got a hold of you? We've been apprehended. Man, when I was growing up, there were a number of times that my dad came up and he apprehended me. And let me tell you something, when my dad got a hold of me, I knew I had been apprehended. Well, let me tell you something else. Several decades ago, I got apprehended by Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad of that. I am so grateful for that. Now, here's another thing. He remembers what he must not forget. You see, Paul had lost his religion and his reputation in order to gain Christ. That's back in verse 8. We're in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, it's like rubbish, that I may gain Christ." So you see, these are three things he remembers what he must not forget. And here's the second part of that. He forgets what he need not remember. He forgets what he need not remember. The past is forgotten. The sin is forgiven. You know, Psalm chapter 103, Psalm 103 verse 12. Write that down. Psalm 103 verse 12 says that as far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been carried from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, I may have explained this to you before. I've traveled a whole lot. But listen, here's something I've discovered. That if you go north, you can go far enough north that eventually you'll be going south. But if you go west, there will never be a time that you'll be going east. It doesn't catch up. Now, I'm not smart enough to understand that, to be honest with you. But that's the way it is. If you go north, you go far enough north, you'll eventually be going south. But if you go east, you'll never catch up with the west. If you go west, you'll never catch up with the east. You'll always be going east, or you'll always be going west. And do you realize that's what God's done to our sins? He's carried them as far away as the east is from the west. Now, if you wanted to say amen or hallelujah or just break into applause, that would have been a phenomenal time right there. I don't mind telling you. Now, think, I'm just telling you what God's done. Everybody with me? It's phenomenal. And Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says that our sins and our iniquities, God remembers no more. So let me ask you this. Do you think God's got a poor memory? No, but what's he say? Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. And you know why he says that? Because it's fact. He chooses not to remember our sins and our iniquities. Whoa. Now, if you were looking for a place to say amen or hallelujah or break into applause, that would have been another great spot right there. I'm just telling you some stuff that God's done. And these are things that Paul reminds us. He says he forgets what he need not remember. You see, Paul had to give up his religion to receive righteousness. That may be where some of you are here today. You may be a religious person, but let me tell you something. I discovered personally, at the age of 20, that my religion is not going to get me into heaven. I needed to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I needed to establish relationship, not my religion. I grew up in religion, but that is not good enough, my friend, to get you into heaven. All right, here's the second thing I want us to see. Forgetting the past. Secondly, facing the future. Facing the future. All right, go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, where he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." So, let's talk about facing the future. Now look at some of Paul's personal goals. First of all, in verse 8, he says that I may win Christ. Next, he says that I may be found in Christ. That's verse 9. Next, he says in verse 10, that I may know Christ. These are some of his personal goals. Verse 20, skip all the way down to verse 20, that I may see Christ. And then verse 21, that I may be like Christ. So those are some of Paul's personal goals. Now, here are some personal goals for us individually. Let me suggest five personal goals for us. First of all, keep your heart hot for Jesus Christ. Keep your heart hot for Jesus Christ. For some of you, your heart's grown cold. Well, let me encourage you. Ask God to rekindle that flame. Ask God to set your heart on fire once again. So, keep your heart hot. Keep your hands holy. Keep your hands holy. The things that you touch, the things that you do, needs to be bathed in holiness. Keep your hands holy. Thirdly, keep your home happy. You got a happy home? You got a happy home? Now, if you do, some of you need to notify your spouse of that. Or some of you need to notify your kids about it. Or some of your kids need to notify your mom and dad. So, keep your home happy. And there are ways to do that, my friend. You got to work at it, but there are ways to do that. Keep your hurts healed. Wow, that applies to church, doesn't it? Anybody ever been hurt in church? Wow. Lots of us have. And that's totally unfortunate. I can't tell you, that is totally unfortunate. But it happens. It happens. So, keep your hurts healed. I saw Sam this week. Sam is, I don't remember, number six grandkid, I guess. And Manny came in and he had a scab on his forehead. I said, "Whoa, Sam, did some little girl hit you?" "No, Papa." And so he explained to me how he'd gotten that. And I looked at him and I said, "Does it need a papa kiss?" He said, "It wouldn't hurt." So I gave him a papa kiss and I said, "Look at that, it's healing already." "It was healing when I walked in here, Papa." So, whatever it takes to keep your hurts healed, when you walk in here, God needs to have already been in the process of healing that hurt. Everybody with me? I can't tell you how tragic and unfortunate it is that we come to God's house that ought to be a safe haven for us and we end up getting hurt. But it's up to you whether or not you let God minister His holy healing salve to you, my friend. So keep your hurts healed and keep your head high. And you may say, "Well, Jay, you don't know the journey I'm walking in." That's true. I may not know that journey, but I do know that God's word says that God is the lifter up of our heads. And there's been times in my life, just like there's been times in your life. I used to put it like this. This is a Scribnerism that I used to have to look in the mirror and say to me, and there's been times I've looked at other people and I say, "How come your dauber's down?" You ever heard that terminology? "How come your dauber's down?" And sometimes I have to look in the mirror and say, "How come your dauber's down?" And I have to go to God and say, "God, would you be the lifter up of my head today?" And there's been lots of people I've prayed for that I've said, "God, you need to be the lifter up of their head." And I love that image, my friend. I love that image where God would just come down to you. He would just come down to you and He'd reach out and He'd lift up your head. Ah, that's a great image, isn't it? And that's what God's willing to do. That's what God is willing to do, to be the lifter up of your head. All right, those five things right there, some personal goals for us. What kind of goals should we have as a church at First Baptist Church here? Well, let me just run through several things. Let me add one to the list. Your new pastor. That's a church goal. A new pastor. That's a church goal. So add that to your list. And discipleship. We talked about that last week. The heartbeat of God is evangelism that transforms into discipleship. That's what we need to be engaged in, and outreach and evangelism and baptisms. That's what we need to look out on the fields that are white to harvest, and we need to be engaged in that. And missions. You're a mission-minded church, and you need to become even more so. But I'm excited over the fact that you are a mission-minded church. And financially, now we're coming to the time of budget preparation. We're coming to the time of setting a new budget for 2019. We're coming to a time when we talk about tithing. Talk about what? How exciting is that? I said, how exciting is that? Yeah. And so, I don't mind telling you, tithing and giving are genuinely some of the most exciting areas for my wife and I. Over 51 years of our marriage, tithing and giving. When we think and talk about tithing and giving, it just flat out gets us excited because of what we've seen God do in those areas. But that's part of our church goal that we need to be engaged in. Impacting First Baptist Church and Mountain Grove. These are some church goals here. Our facilities. Listen, I don't mean this in any stretch of imagination of condemning the past, but I'm telling you, these stained glass windows are ugly. Amen. You know? And your grandpa may have given all the money for them. So please don't take that as as an insult. Depending on how old your grandpa is, it shows. All right? So all I'm saying is there are some needs that you have with your facilities. And we need to deal with that. I'm talking to the building committee right now, and so we just need to be alert to that. These are church goals. Personal discipleship, and prayer and witnessing. Church goals that we as a church need to be engaged in. We're talking about facing the future, and here are some key elements, my friend. These three things, jot these down. Facing the future. Overcoming the present. Overcoming the present. So, let's get honest. We got any problems here in the present? Go like this. Yeah, it's a Baptist church, isn't it? Sure. So we need to learn to overcome the present. If we've got some problems, we need to get God's help to deal with them and get honest with ourselves. Overshadowing the past. Hey, you may say, well, someone hurt me just 2 minutes ago, or was it 2 years ago? Or 20 years ago? Hey, it's in the past. So let's overshadow the past. And overwhelming the problems. I love to go to the beach. I love to. And man, I get out of the car and I forget I've got a family. I forget there's anybody else around. I just get out of the car and head for the water. I love it. I just love the ocean and love the beach. And I run out into it and run and run and run. And then all of a sudden I realize I'm pretty far out. Then all of a sudden I feel something dragging my feet, my legs. And I've been where there's been an undertow, somewhat of a strong undertow. And so because of that, I learned not to be so quick, just to run and run and run. Because you can get far enough out pretty quickly that you can find yourself in an undertow. And there's been times where I've just had to give in to the overflow and let it move me back closer to the beach. Now let me explain that to you again. That undertow can drag you down. You ever been in an undertow? You ever been in an undertow spiritually? You ever been in an undertow at church that seems to drag you down? Drag you out? You ever been there? Sometimes you just got to ask God for the overflow. Let him get you back where you need to be. Everybody following this? Pretty doggone good illustration if I don't say so myself, huh? If you were looking for a place to chuckle or clap or say amen or anything like that, that's not a bad spot either. I'm telling you, we need to ask God to give us enough of an overflow that in fact, we can get loose of the undertow. Huh? Everybody with me on that? Come on. Come on. We need to ask God to give us enough of an overflow. Number three. You're going to get out for lunch, I assure you. You'll get there. Number three. All right, number one was forgetting the past. Number two was facing the future. Number three, focused on the goal. Focused on the goal. Verse 14. We're in Philippians chapter 3. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I press toward the mark. I was reading one of my favorite theologians one time, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown and Lucy were talking. And Lucy said, Charlie, life is like living on a luxury liner.
And on that luxury liner, you have the privilege of going to the top deck and sitting in your deck chair while that big ship of life is moving. Charlie Brown, your deck chair can be facing forward, or your deck chair can be facing backwards. Charlie Brown, where is your deck chair facing? Charlie looked at Lucy and hung his head, and he said, "Lucy, I can't even get my deck chair open." We need to stay focused on the goal. Listen, don't forget whose you are. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong first and foremost to Jesus Christ. Don't forget where you've come from, my friend. Remember when God found you? Aren't you glad He did? So don't forget where you've come from. But most of all, don't forget how you got to where you are. You got there purely by the grace of God, my friend. The throne room of God is not sprinkled with my sweat or your sweat or the sweat of anybody else or the sweat of any preacher, but the throne room of God is sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why we have access to Him. That's why we can come to the throne room, and that's why we have an eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's it. God's word says here that I press toward, and that word press means to ensue. It means to pursue. It means to press forward. So let me encourage you, church. Let me encourage you individually. Stay focused, stay faithful, and stay fruitful. You see, Paul lived for Christ because he died to himself. Here's the last thing I want you to see. We're in Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting the past, facing the future, focused on the goal, and finally, faithful to the finish. Faithful to the finish. What's God got for First Baptist Church? It's good, my friend. It's good. He wants us to love out loud. And that loving may have to start right here. It may have to start right here in my heart. It may have to start right there in your heart. It may have to start right here in this auditorium. He wants us to stay faithful to the finish as we keep loving out loud. Listen, I want to meet Jesus, and when I meet Jesus, I'm telling you, I just have one passion, and that is this. I want to hear Him say, "Well done. Well done. Well done." That's what I want to hear. So I want to stay faithful to the finish. Let me encourage you, don't you become weary in well-doing. That's what we're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. I want to encourage you, finish strong, keep on. Get your second wind. The finish line is in sight. We're going to have to do it together. Together, First Baptist Church. We don't want any lone rangers. We're going to have to do it together. First Baptist Church, together. Starts with you individually. Starts with these things we've talked about. Forgetting the past, facing the future, focused on the goal. And we want to stay faithful to the finish. Well, let me close with this. This is a true story. Comes out of the 1992 Olympics. You may have seen those. Held in Barcelona, Spain. A fellow by the name of Derek Redmond. Derek Redmond. He was there from Great Britain. And he was there participating in the 400 meter. And on that day, the day that the medals were to be given out, Derek Redmond, along with the other runners from other countries that had achieved that spot on the track, Derek Redmond is down in the starting blocks with the others. The gun goes off, and all of those runners come out of the starting blocks not long into the race. Derek Redmond is hurtled to the asphalt because he tore, not sprained, he tore a hamstring. And he's laying on the asphalt, writhing in pain, holding his leg, while the other runners proceed down the track. And to the amazement of everyone in the stands, they watch as Derek Redmond struggles to stand up. And then he falls down again. And he struggles and he tries to get up. And then he falls down again. And finally, Derek Redmond gets up. He gets back in his lane. And he begins dragging his leg as he heads down the track. Now, what happened next was astounding. There was a man in the grandstands that came down to the security fence, and he climbs the security fence, and he throws himself over the security fence, and two security guards come up to him, and he throws them out of the way. And he runs out to the track and he stands next to Derek Redmond. It was Derek Redmond's dad. And he takes his son's arm and he puts it around his shoulders. And together, Derek Redmond and his dad go all the way to the finish line. Sports reporters gather around them. The crowd in the grandstand are standing to their feet with uproarious applause. And the sports reporter said to Derek Redmond, why did you do that? They said, you probably did irreparable damage to your leg. Why did you do that? And here's what he said. It's an amazing statement. Derek Redmond looked at him and he said, "My country did not send me here just to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race." Well, let me tell you something. Christian, listen. God didn't get you just to start on this journey of Christianity. Everybody following this? God didn't get you saved just to start. God saved you to get you all the way to heaven. For you to finish the journey. And it's so much like God. It is so much like God that when we fall down, God's going to throw himself over the balcony of heaven. He's going to come down beside you, my friend. He's going to pick you up, and he's going to put your arm around his shoulder. And he's going to go with you all the way, all the way. God's going to go with you all the way to the finish line. Everybody following this? That's our Christian goal. That is our Christian goal. It starts right here in my heart. And it spreads to God's people. And then it goes outside these walls. As we together are loving out loud. Go all the way to the finish line with God. Let me pray with you. Father, your word is amazing. And I pray that you would help us to forget the past, face the future, to stay focused on the goal, and stay faithful to the finish for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to getting back to our homeland with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're not even on the track, my friend, if you're not even on the track, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not even on the track, come today and we'll introduce you to Jesus. Maybe you're ready to attach yourself to this church. Come on and get that done. Maybe you're ready to follow Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Come on and identify that. Maybe we just need to pray with you for some particular area of your life. We're willing to do that. And I'm going to ask Christians to come to the altar once again. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. And here's what I'd do, my friend. I'd come and kneel at the altar. If you can't kneel, then just stand here. Just pick a spot and let that be your altar before God. God will understand if you can't kneel physically. But you come to the altar and you say, God, I don't want to lose sight of the Christian goal. I don't want to lose sight of it. And I want you to help me. I want you to help me with that. I want to do my part. And I want to finish the race, and I want to finish strong. Help me to do that. Help me to love out loud. It starts right here, my friend, so that we can then take it to Mountain Grove and beyond. You come on to the altar and get it going with God today. Anything that we shared from God's word today, it might be having to do with forgiving. It might be having to do with getting a hurt healed. It might be having to do with some relationship. It might be having to do with just acknowledging whose you are and where you've come from and how you got to where you are. But come and do business with God at the altar. Let's stand together, move immediately to God's altar.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power. And thine
don't hold
alone
back.
Can change the leper spots and melt the
get up and move toward the finish line.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're going to sing again in just a moment. Say, Jay, I've been hurt. Get up and move toward the finish line. God's going to meet you there. He's going to meet you where you are and move toward that finish line with you. Get up and move toward the finish line. Be a goal setter and a goal getter. Get up and move toward the finish line. We need to love out loud. It's going to start right here, right in your heart, and spread to the person next to you in God's house, so that this church can move out there and love out loud. Let's sing another verse. You come.
For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all.
Get up and move toward the finish line.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Jim, I want to ask you to keep playing, if you will. I'm sorry, Marianne. Jean Ann, if you'll please keep playing for us. Okay. Do you need to get up and move toward the finish line? Everybody up to date? Everybody spent time with the Lord that you need to today? Be seated just for a moment. All right, Jean Ann, I apologize. Thank you for your attendance today. Thank you for your attentiveness. We're going to have a final video, but I also need to share this letter with you. And I'm going to share this letter, then we're going to have this final video. And I'm going to ask Scott Meller to come and be ready to close us in prayer today. And Scott is one of our deacons of the week. All right? Dear church family, Ronnie and I, and this is from Ronnie and Kathy Trammell, and let me share this with you. Ronnie and I want to thank all of you for the outpouring of love, prayer support, and Bible donations in memory of our parents, Bob and Edna Trammell. Many of you will know and remember them. Bob Trammell went home to be with our Lord September the 12th, and the doctor told us he died of a broken heart. The love of his life was also dying, and there was nothing he could do to fix it. Edna Trammell died 9 days later after taking her home from the hospital and placing her in hospice care. Both were cremated and will be laid to rest in Arkansas with a graveside service. Plans and details have not been made at this point. We will let the church know as soon as the date and service are planned. We know, just as Mom and Dad did, that this church is a special place. They enjoyed their time here and continually wanted to know what was going on here after they moved to Edmond, Oklahoma, where while here, Mom and Dad enjoyed making visits each week to those who were ill or to those who had been missing from our services. They also visited families in our community if they knew they needed to know the Lord. Bob would share the gospel with folks as naturally as he would tell them his name. Edna was his lifetime supporter. She was a prayer warrior and could preach as well as Bob if given the chance. Together, this couple won countless souls to the Lord. Today, we rejoice with them as they celebrate their first Lord's Day together with Jesus. Thank you again for loving us through this time. Isn't that a great, great testimony? And so we just bless the Trammells and and they've been through a difficult journey. Your prayers have helped support them and encourage them. All right, God bless you. Join us tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring your bulletin insert back with you, okay?